So today, March the 20th, is the United Nations International Day of Happiness. Some of you will recall back in February, I delivered a sermon on Bhutan and gross national happiness. And you'll recall that the nation of Bhutan had shifted its national priorities from gross national product, which is about economics, to gross national happiness, a measure of all the things that impact quality of life. And they brought that idea to the United Nations. And since then, the United Nations has adopted that perspective, sort of a multi-pronged approach to happiness. And this holiday is to draw attention to that. So today we're going to move from that sort of macro or big level we had last month and move to the personal level. What can each of us do to cultivate greater happiness? Happiness certainly has taken a big hit during the pandemic. How do we build back happier? And that was the original theme for this year. They later changed it, as you can see there at the bottom, to Happiness for All Ukraine. If you do an internet search for advice on how to improve your happiness, you'll find lists of all kinds of lengths. 3, 5, 7, 10, 12, 15, 19, all the way up to 77 tips. So I read a whole bunch of them. And after a while, some themes started to present themselves. So that's what I've done, is taken those major themes and made my own list of 4 tips. And then I felt one was missing, and I added one myself. So I've got 5 tips for us today. So here we go. Tip number one. Brenda, could go to the next slide for us, please. Tip number one is choose it. Happiness takes intention and effort. So I've got a quote up here from Bertrand Russell from his 1930 book, Conquest of Happiness. Happiness is not, except in very rare cases, something that drops into the mouth like a ripe fruit. Happiness must be, for most men and women, an achievement rather than a gift of the gods. And in this achievement, effort, both inward and outward, must play a great part. The good news for all of us is that we can all improve our happiness. Sure, some of us, that process will be easier than others. Some of us might be able to reach greater happiness heights than others of us can. But all of us can elevate our happiness when we make the effort. And it is a lifelong process and journey. And that's because our bodies are designed to return to their prior states. When we experience big emotions, whatever the emotions might be, we naturally begin to then drift back to a place of stasis. So therefore, this means that happiness is something we have to constantly continue to choose and strive for. It sure would be nice if we only had to do it once, that we could achieve a state of happiness and then just stay there and ride it the rest of our lives, but that's simply not how emotions work. Tip number two on the next slide is care for our whole selves. Our well-being truly is holistic. When we get adequate sleep, exercise, eat in healthy ways, drink sufficient water, address our stress, take time for ourselves, all of those things add up to healthier emotions as well. And in fact, psychiatrists have noted that adequate exercise can be equivalent to taking antidepressant medication. I'm going to guess that a tip like this, care for ourselves, is something that most of us don't need. We know this, it's intuitive. And we've all experienced how our moods are impacted when we do a good job caring for ourselves versus when we don't. So we know this, it's intuitive. It's something that is far easier to say than to do. There's the challenge, is being mindful and doing it all the time. But nonetheless, the reminder is always worthwhile. Our emotional lives are not independent of our body or our lifestyle. Our emotions are thoroughly interwoven with them. How we feel, how we live, how we treat our body, they're all going to influence one another. Tip number three, challenge negativity and cultivate optimism. So this tip isn't saying get yourself some rose-colored glasses and blissfully pretend that all is well and everything is a rainbow. Bad things are part of life, and there's nothing wrong in acknowledging and feeling those emotions when we need to. What this tip is saying is that we need to be mindful not to let the negatives tinge our entire outlook on the world. So as we're able to, strive to do our best to recognize negative thoughts as they occur. Ask ourselves, is the negativity entirely warranted? Or maybe the situation isn't quite as bad as it seemed at first. Oftentimes, the big emotional response we first have to things may not necessarily be what the situation warrants. It's also worth asking ourselves, might there be some positives in the situation? Could I reframe it? Is there a lesson somewhere? Perhaps something transformational? Now, clearly, how easy or how hard this one might be for each of us is going to vary, but the effort is going to always be worthwhile. One great way to practice this tip here is by practicing gratitudes. Find what we have to be thankful for and express it. Even amid bad things, there's still things to be grateful for. I've shared with you all before about my experience in meeting the UUA credentialing body. You'll recall my anxiety got the better of me during my interview and I didn't score well. At the time, it was devastating. However, if I had gotten that final UUA baptism, I would have entered into the national pool of ministers or minister jobs. Who knows where I'd be right now? But because of how things did work out, you and I got to have a relationship instead. And I'm absolutely grateful for that and feel very blessed. So I've taken that negative experience and reframed it to say that by things working out as they did, I'm now available to be a minister to a smaller congregation who otherwise couldn't compete in that national pool of ministers. On top of that, my wife and I didn't have to do a cross-country move to who knows where, and we get to live on a forested property at Richmond prices. That's a pretty nice thing too. Now, the example I just gave, that's a pretty big gratitude about careers. A gratitude doesn't have to be grand. We can practice a gratitude in the everyday as well. Look at the beauty in that tree. Cat snuggles are the best. That friend has always been there for me. At our house, we instituted Thankful Tuesdays and Thankful Thursdays. And obviously, I picked those for the alliteration. But you could create any kind of ritual you wanted every morning, particular days, the weekend, whatever. So on Thankful Tuesdays and Thursdays, my wife and I share out loud with one another a gratitude. And it doesn't have to be about each other. It can be whatever we want. And it's beneficial not just to identify our gratitudes, but I think there's also a power in vocalizing them and putting them out into the world. Our fourth tip, surround ourselves with happy. Could be people, animals, communities, places, activities, nature, whatever it is that brings us joy and happiness. Sure, there's all kinds of things in life that we have to do, and not all of those things make us happy. Many relationships we don't choose, but we still have to maintain them. But to the degree to which we can, invest our time and our effort into the relationships like this one here, like our church relationship, that brings us happiness and is life-affirming. And this can have a ripple effect. Elevating our happiness gives us more to share with the world, who can in turn pass it on. The same is equally true of unhappiness. So we can bring people up or we can bring them down. Others can bring us up or they can bring us down. So on the one hand, happiness is very individualistic. There's a lot we can do to elevate our own happiness, but it's also very communal. We had a family session this past Wednesday about the film Encanto. And one of the themes in the film concerns family dynamics and how the expectations and pressures within families can keep us down or bring us down. Who we surround ourselves with and how much power we grant them can add or take away from happiness. And sometimes we can't make choices, like with family or with our work, which makes it all the more important to surround ourselves with happy in the ways that we can choose. So these four tips were what I gathered up from all of the lists I read. I wanted to add one more of my own that I didn't see on the list that I felt was important from a pastoral point of view. Tip number 5, be real. And what I mean by that is, as we take in advice like this, it seems to me it's very important to consider where we are and what we have to work with. I've got an example. Let's say, this is just an abstract thought piece. Let's say I decide I want to become a sprinter. So a bunch of us aspiring sprinters, we head down to the track to get some coaching on how to be the best sprinter we can be. Well, one of us doesn't have shoes. Another one has a visual impairment and arrives with a running guide. Someone else is in scuba gear and apparently thought this was something else entirely. And Maurice Greene, the fastest American man ever, he's also there. So the coach is going to give us all the same advice, because at some level, sprinting is sprinting, right? You got to be good at getting off the blocks and all that. We all need the same kinds of skills. But at the same time, each of us there have to take in those coaching skills and run our own race. If we take in the advice, I'm sure we can all sprint and get across the finish line. But at the same time, we all have to be thinking about where we are and what we're working with as we're taking in that coaching. We're all at different starting places. We've got different issues to contend with, different skill levels that are all going to factor in. So to shift from sprinting back to happiness, we all have different circumstances, issues, life experiences. Now, all those things impact not just our current happiness, but also what our happiness range is and how much and how quickly we can dial up that happiness. You're in an abusive relationship? Don't worry, be happy. You're straddled with generational trauma and poverty? Don't worry, be happy. You struggle with mental illness? Don't worry, be happy. Yes, we can all have very powerful impacts on our happiness levels, but at the same time, our happiness is absolutely impacted by those around us, by our overall life circumstances and context, who we are, and also what kind of psychological resources we have to work with. So our happiness dials are not just in different places now. Some of us have entirely different default settings. So if we imagine happiness running here from maximum unhappiness of minus 10 to maximum happiness of 10. So let's imagine the default setting for most people is 0, meaning you're neither happy nor unhappy. Well, for me, my default setting is more like minus 1. Because I struggle with clinical depression. And I'm not saying that for pity, I'm just being real. When my mommy and daddy made a baby, this is what I got. And I have to take that into account, that this is what I'm working with when I'm taking in tips like these. Pretending that that's not the case, it's not going to help me out one bit. So what I'm driving at is that advice tips like these are written to a certain norm. Process them in such a way that they are tailored to each of us and fit each of us and our context. Some of us might need a pre-tip before we get to the tip. Like the person without shoes, he probably ought to get shoes before he worries about the coaching tips. Others of us might not need a pre-tip or the tip. Maybe we're already at 11. Maurice Green doesn't need to do anything on the track other than be Maurice Green. We each need to run our own race and be the best sprinter we are able to be with what we have. Same is true with our happiness. We all have different emotional lives, different aptitudes. It can only help us to be real about what we're working with and how we should process any of the advice that we receive. If you could head to the last slide, please, Brenda. The late, great Thich Nhat Hanh once wrote this paradoxical statement that I have there in the upper box. There's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. I understand this paradoxical statement to mean that happiness doesn't come from a magic pill or a single technique. Happiness is a process, and we achieve it by putting in effort to acquire it. We all have different skills, different aptitudes that will shape how easy or hard that process and journey is going to be. The good news is that everyone can increase their happiness. Choose it, care for our whole selves, challenge negativity and cultivate optimism, surround ourselves with happy, and be real. On this International Day of Happiness, I wish each and every one of us greater happiness now and greater happiness later. So may it be.